At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A Football Friday, live right here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin, or so they tell me. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. 2 weeks away from the 2025 NFL Draft. 2 weeks from right now, we will be reacting to all that we see in the first round, setting the stage for night number two, rounds two and three, live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll get into some NFL draft conversations in 2025 in just a little bit. Some news around the National Football League that also might give us some insight as to what happens at the top of the draft. And we'll spend some time before the close of our show up until 1 p.m. Eastern talking some college football as well on a weekend, Joe, that really won't be dedicated towards spring games, but a lot of spring practices and spring ball nearing a close around college football as well.
Yeah, and some news surrounding Tennessee, right, with their starting quarterback, Nico, not at practice today, potentially holding out, and this is the current landscape of college football as we know it. Contracts and obviously players wanting the bag of cash. Nico has wanted the bag of cash since he stepped foot in terms of Knoxville's campus, right? Supposedly they gave him $9 million. It wasn't good enough to obviously just play for the Volunteers. Now he wants a restructuring of that NIL deal. It's amazing in terms of the current landscape of college players and where we're at in terms of the game itself, Ben.
Yes, it's a very different landscape, Joe. There is no doubt. We will talk about that reports that Tennessee's quarterback, at least for now, Nico Iamaleava, was not at practice today on this Friday morning in Knoxville in just a little bit. A sign of the times, there is no doubt about it. All right, Lizzie, we start, though, in the National Football League. Speaking of quarterbacks signing new deals, a reunion in Cleveland for the second time in 3 years. Joe Flacco has signed a one-year, $4 million deal with the Browns that can be worth up to $13 million based on incentives. Flacco, of course, who played with the Browns down the home stretch of 2023, starting the final five games of the regular season, leading the Browns to 11 regular season wins and a playoff berth, even starting that playoff game, albeit a loss, against the Houston Texans. After last year in Indianapolis, he played 8 games, started 6 for the Colts. He is back in Cleveland, reuniting in that quarterback room with head coach Kevin Stefanski. The Browns have a new QB. His name is Joe Flacco.
Yeah, it's amazing. Right now, does Joe win the job over Kenny Pickett? What does that mean moving forward? And we saw reports about Deshaun Watson say, hey, don't forget about me when the time is right, when I do come back on the playing field. But, you know, all in all, Cleveland now, I guess when you look at it, they're going the route of the New York Giants now with two quarterbacks that potentially could start. Are they going to take a quarterback at number two overall? Most likely not. And Flacco is comfortable in the scheme. Didn't live up to expectations with Indianapolis. But, you know, with Cleveland, it's possible that maybe, you know, he gets back into the starting lineup and he throws for 300-yard performances. Again, you would have to say that if Cleveland had Joe Flacco as the starter, now you have the opportunity to maybe win six or seven games, I'll just say, with that defense. Yeah. It's possible. Yeah. Put it this way. You would say they have a better shot because Flacco's a veteran. He's performed in the scheme. And even though you think upside for Kenny Pickett, he's still, you know, a big project and hope. So, you know, Flacco gives you a better opportunity right here, right now in the offseason. But again, this team is still stuck in neutral and has major holes to fill moving forward.
And Lisey, that seems to be the conversation, right? What exactly is the Browns' path at quarterback for 2025? We talked about this yesterday. The team's drafting in the top three of the 2025 NFL draft. The Titans, Browns, and Giants in that order are the only three teams right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a win total of 5.5 entering 2025. All three of those teams, that is the win total. The Titans, despite having the earliest draft pick, actually have the juice on the over. Both Cleveland and New York juice to the under. The Giants have more juice on the under, which means they technically have the worst win total around the National Football League entering 2025. Can Flacco get you to six or seven wins? Sure. Does that necessarily mean you are a playoff team? Absolutely not, especially in the competitive AFC North, and thus are you floundering once again for the Browns? Yeah, we heard from Deshaun Watson saying, let the doubters doubt me. Deshaun, you're not playing another snap for the Cleveland Browns, and I don't think he plays again, Joe, in 2025, re-rupturing that torn Achilles that he suffered during the 2024 NFL season. I do think it is interesting, though, that the Browns have decided, despite having the second overall pick, our plan at quarterback for 2025 is some version of a QB room of Kenny Pickett and maybe some lasting promise, or the veteran experience at 40 years old after 17 NFL seasons in Joe Flacco. That seems to be the answer. Now, could the Browns add a QB later in the NFL draft? Sure, but Joe, there has been zero indication that Cleveland is even considering a quarterback at second overall.
Yeah, I mean, again, can they, you know, throw a curveball? I mean, it's possible, but why would they? The only reason why they would do that is to potentially lure somebody that's interested maybe in Shedeur Sanders, right? But again, like you would think that if they were using that type of mentality, they would say that they're going to take Shedeur Sanders. So maybe a team like New Orleans and Pittsburgh reaches up, right? The fact that they're flat out not saying that right now, but what purpose does that serve unless that's the real route they're going to go? Right. So again, does Travis Hunter move the needle? He does if you have an elite quarterback and obviously you have a lockdown corner to take away, you know, half the football field or a third of it. The problem is, and we talked about this with Pittsburgh and Cleveland respectively, is that you're going head to head with the basically NFL MVP two-time in Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow in that offense that could outscore anybody. So how are you going to compete from a quarterback perspective moving forward with journeyman quarterbacks? It just doesn't make sense.
It does not, Joe. And that's one of the difficult things, I think, for what Cleveland is trying to do. And it's always an interesting thing, right, when you have a rebuilding year before a season has even begun. But Cleveland kind of put themselves in this position. The disastrous trade, the even worse contract for Deshaun Watson. And instead of trading Myles Garrett to an actual contender, they re-sign him to the tune of $40 million. Now, of course, you would lose the production that is Myles Garrett, but you might be able to rebuild with multiple first-round draft picks this year in return for Myles Garrett and at second overall. Okay, you re-sign Myles Garrett. Well, at second overall, it seems as though for a quarterback desperate and needy team, there you go, get a quarterback. Has not been the case. I think it speaks to Shedeur Sanders' stock in the 2025 NFL draft. I also think it speaks to what we are seeing out of the Cleveland Browns and their plan forward for 2025. Lisi, I did mention that the top three teams in the draft order, all a win total of 5.5. There is another team in the New York Jets who draft 7th overall who have a win total of 5.5 as well. That over has the juice at -145. I don't think you can be optimistic with what Cleveland's plan is right now. And then, Joe, just to back it up with the odds, Travis Hunter remains greater than a $3 minus money favorite at -310 to be that second overall pick. Again, all indications based on the offseason moves so far for the Browns and what the odds makers are telling us, it's not a quarterback at 2, it's Travis Hunter. And the QBs, they are already in-house and signed. Kenny Pickett traded for, Joe Flacco signed just today.
Yeah, again, you know, Travis Hunter, from the odds perspective, looks like that guy for the Cleveland Browns. Again, can that change? It's possible, but it would have to be a team like New Orleans or Pittsburgh really moving up to get Shedeur Sanders because they think he's not going to be outside the top five, and I just don't see that right now.
Yeah, again, that's another conversation on Shedeur Sanders and his stock and where exactly that falls. But, Joe, let's dive into some big news in college football on the other side of the break, live right here on FFC. Nico Iamaleava, a holdout in college, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The big news out of college football that is not only big for 2025 and a marquee program who was a college football playoff team out of the SEC a year ago in Tennessee, but maybe a sign of the times in this new and reimagined landscape of college football in the NIL transfer portal and soon-to-be revenue-sharing era. Nico Iamaleava, starting quarterback for the Vols a season ago in his real freshman year, but his second year on campus in Knoxville. There were some reports yesterday afternoon, Joe, that the guy we call Nicky Treats on College Football Today, Iamaleava, was in negotiations with Tennessee for a restructured NIL deal. Iamaleava made headlines as he entered college football headed to Tennessee for signing an NIL deal worth $8 million, about $2 million per year, with the expectation he would be on campus in Knoxville for at least 3 to 4 seasons. But the reports yesterday, Iamaleava trying to renegotiate said NIL deal, probably asking for more money in the booming landscape that is NIL. And Joe, after those reports yesterday, some news today. During spring ball in Knoxville for the Volunteers, Nico Iamaleava did not show up to practice on this Friday morning, a move that, by all reports, stunned even the Tennessee staff.
Yeah, this is where we're at, unfortunately. And this is now, you know, it's actually worse than the NFL, because there's no salary cap. There's no repercussions. Yeah. Kids can, you know, do whatever they want. It's like the Wild West. The coaching staff doesn't matter. And I understand coaches got theirs for years. I get that. And the kids deserve to be paid. But the integrity in the game now is starting to be affected, right? You have a starting quarterback that, let's be honest, we're not talking about Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams-esque. Right. Yes, the kid has upside, but by no means did he light it up, you know, especially not in the college football semifinal playoff loss to Ohio State. And this kid who just got a bag of cash when he was a high school senior, and the reports were in the area of $8 to $9 million before he even stepped on a football field, and now he wants to renegotiate that deal. What are we doing here? You know, I don't know how we stop it. It's not going to stop now. You're going to see more opt-outs. You're going to see players holding out. And at the end of the day, it's going to affect the game at some point. Maybe not this year,
sure,
but it'll definitely be down the road. And the whole, I just want to say, foundation now is going to be affected. They have to get in front of this, Penn. This is a bad situation. I mean, what is he going to do? Hold them hostage like Aaron Rodgers is holding the Pittsburgh Steelers till when? The first week of fall camp? This is ridiculous.
This is a holdout, Joe, or a hold in, I guess, because he is on campus, at least by latest reports, in Knoxville. Here we take it even a step further. Chris Lowe for ESPN reporting that Nico's NIL representation, whatever that looks like, was asking for $4 million. So if his annual salary or annual NIL deal is reportedly paying him $2 to $2.5 million, they were hoping nearly for a 50% bump on that to be paid $4 million for 2025. This is what we are seeing in collegiate athletics. College football, men's college basketball, even women's college basketball as well. Players announcing their return, but not because they're foregoing the NFL or NBA draft, because they have reworked an NIL deal to get the payment necessary to come back to campus. Joe, here's the thing. I've always been a proponent of player agency, of player movement, especially with where things are in college football. To your point, however, there are very different things from the NIL landscape from even free agency in professional sports. You can't just leave every year. You are tied to an actual contract. And because NIL deals might have some sort of written agreement, but they're not contracts, Joe. There's nothing to be owed if a player reneges on that deal. There is nothing to be owed if a player transfers. Now, that could be a new step of where this is all going. And man, we really need some NIL regulations in terms of standard agreements across the landscape. But that's really the main difference, Joe. Everybody want to talk about player movement. Fantastic. Give all the players the doubt. They are the ones that are earning this revenue for their universities, for their conferences. But we all have it in our jobs. We see it in professional sports. You have agreements. You have contracts that you have signed that have legal repercussions if you break them or don't show up for work, which is what Nico Iamaleava has done today.
Yeah, and this is where, and you would think, like, obviously at the grand scheme, right, the pinnacle of where we are in sports, right? Could it get worse? It's possible. But from where we are from a college perspective, this is as bad as it gets, right? Yeah. And you would think that, you know, with this type of doomsday scenario, the one organization that you could count on to really, you know, I want to say rein in this whole situation and have bylaws and have guardrails in place would be the NCAA. And they are so far removed and have been behind the eight ball and lagging in this that they allowed this to happen. That is their only purpose of an organization. Yes, it's for the student athletes, but to not have the foresight, to not have a plan in place to protect the players, exactly, the organizations, the students, the faculty, the school, the coaches, and the businesses. Let's be honest. I mean, if I'm a business and I give Nico $1 million to do, you know, 15 commercials for the local car, you know, used car lot or GMC in Knoxville, and he walks out the door, then what? I'm at a loss. Who's protecting me right now?
Yeah, and Lisa, guy, that was the true iteration of NIL, a player that could be compensated based on their name, image, and or likeness. NIL now, though, is not some business, some car dealership in Knoxville. It's all the booster collectives that you have that operate out of the purview of the NCAA and all of your richest donors that are basically doing a pay-for-play salary. So much more to unpack in this conversation. We will do so on the other side of the break. What it means for Tennessee, what it means for Nikki Treats, what it means for college football. All of that up next here on Football Full Circle with an interesting development at a Rocky Top. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Big news today out of Tennessee. Nico Iamaleava, about to be the starting quarterback, or so we think, for the Volunteers entering 2025, did not show up to spring practice today on this Friday morning in Knoxville amid conversations that Iamaleava, his representation, and the Volunteers are in renegotiations of his NIL deal to be that starting quarterback in Knoxville. Again, Lisi, we kind of unpacked the situation, what this means for college sports and college football at this moment. But Nico Iamaleava, when he was coming out of high school in California, received what by reports at the time was a lucrative $6 to $8 million NIL deal to even be the Volunteers quarterback. Last year, his first year as a true starter at Tennessee, struggled against the best of the best, and yet the Vols were still a college football playoff team before getting dismantled by Ohio State by 25 points in that opening round in Columbus. Here is what is fascinating, Joe, when we talk about NIL deals and renegotiation. There is not necessarily a strong contract that either party, Iamaleava and his representations, or Tennessee's booster collective needs to uphold. There are very few legal ramifications for going back to the drawing board and trying to renegotiate a new agreement. Why? Because these are not standardized contracts. It is not what we see in the professional ranks. You can be a free agent. You can be traded. Things can be difficult and a business. You can be released, but there are penalties for doing so, whether fiscal or otherwise. In the wild, wild west of name, image, and likeness, NIL, there are not these ramifications. They are not any of these repercussions, Joe, that we see of any standardized legal document that most people have to work at a place, whether a contract or an agreement, and certainly not what we're used to even in professional sports.
Yeah, so you take the good, the bad, and the ugly of the situation. So the good is you're gonna have players stay in college longer. Why? Because you're going to have average to mediocre players, potentially, like Nico, and it's not a knock, but let's just look at his body of work up until this point. He's certainly not
what it is.
He's not Arch Manning.
2024, he was mediocre at best.
So he has the potential to make significantly more money, potentially, in college than he would ever make in the NFL in terms of a football career. And that's why these guys are doing it, right? We see a bunch of quarterbacks. Now, some quarterbacks, obviously due to injury, due to being a graduate and wanting, you know, to maybe move closer to home or you know, whatever the situation, those are some of the situations. But you're having the kids stay in school longer because the bags of cash are bigger. You know, that's the good part. The ugly part is, from a continuity perspective, I don't know how you coach in the current landscape, especially when you take the most important figure and your quarterback, and you don't even know if he's going to be there come fall camp, right? He could check out at any moment. So this is where, not only that, but the rules now with the red shirt, where you have players that potentially step up and they have one foot out the door. They play 3 to 4 games in terms of college, and you need them for the fifth game. And guess what, guys? I don't want to burn my red shirt. I'm not playing the rest of the season. Good luck with that. That's where we're at in terms of college athletics.
Lisi, you can look right now at the estimated value of an NFL rookie contract. Obviously, in round number one, you are making close to $5, $6, $7 million in that annual average value. But as you get deeper throughout the draft, day two, and certainly day three, which if we were going to project Nico Iamaleava right now for next year's draft, where he is eligible in 2026, I would say at best he's a fourth round pick right now. That's about $1 million or a little bit more than that, $1.5 million at most per year. He is trying to make more than that by nearly four times per year while he is in Knoxville. Again, we are talking about college football is a $1 billion revenue industry. The days of amateurism in college sports, the facade that it was, is long gone. So it does make sense that the players get a share of it, whether that's name, image, and likeness, or revenue sharing that begins later this summer as well. But there needs to be guidelines. There needs to be holds of what we are seeing, guardrails, if you will. We'll talk about why there is not and what could potentially change, if anything is actually going to change. We will do that next here on Football Full Circle. And we'll see, Joe, if this landscape will continue to hold in college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So, we have an interesting development out of Knoxville right now. Nico Iamaleava, the starting quarterback for Tennessee a season ago, who was a part of a Volunteers team that made it to the college football playoff, among what has been reported as NIL renegotiations with the Volunteers, did not show up for spring practice on this Friday morning, sending shockwaves around Knoxville and, of course, all of college football. Lisi, you said something earlier. We are approaching the four-year landmark of when name, image, and likeness became a legal thing and became a part of college sports, July 1st, 2021. And that's when it went into place. That's when it was allowed to be put into practice. We knew that NIL was going to become a thing multiple years before that. And Joe, the one governing body that has power in college athletics who could have done something about it, who could have had the foresight to put in some guardrails to save us from this Wild West landscape we are currently fighting through each and every day, of course, that is the National Collegiate Athletic Association, known as the NCAA. But you see, here's the thing about a fraudulent organization in the NCAA that had been brokering their own regulations for so many years and profiting off the back of college athletes. When they know they're getting their ass kicked in courts, they start kicking the can down the road. When the NCAA realized that their entire framework of their industry and their business was fraudulent and illegal, they said, you know what? That's on you guys to figure it out. They punted on it. They allowed state by state to figure out their own NIL regulations, and they stopped being a governing body. They stopped overlooking everything in collegiate sports. And by the time they got a new director in Charlie Baker, who tried to do something about it, to try to have some legislative body to overlook and oversee these things, it was far, far too late. So if you want to point a finger at who is to blame for the situation we find ourselves in, it's the NCAA first and foremost.
Yeah, why do we have them at this point? Why do we have them? Like, what is the reason for this organization to exist? They don't do anything as it relates to NIL. It doesn't protect any of the players slash coaches slash organizations and schools. So what is their main purpose? Their main purpose is to have a board of directors, and their main purpose is to collect checks. And then after the fact, then do something to look like they're taking responsibility when ultimately they're not. And think about just not forget the last 5 or 6 years to your point, but think about where you clearly had situations where, you know, transfer students had a legitimate cause to transfer out of a university because of a sick family member. And they overlooked those type of situations and then granted a fifth or a sixth or even a seventh year waiver to a kid that wasn't deserving just because, and there was no rhyme or reason for that type of decision. That's the NCAA that we've seen over the last 30, 40 years. You know, the clear-cut cases of where the NCAA should be involved, they're non-existent. The cases where you scratch your head and you say, how could they actually cause an event or a situation from a legal parameter, they're knee-deep in. It just makes – they're so twisted as an organization that, again, I'm telling you this right now, if they don't fix this, they're gone. Because then what's going to happen, and we all know this, is that the conferences are going to get together and say, you do absolutely nothing from a responsibility standpoint. We're breaking away from you. How, like, what is the, this is their sole purpose to guard against this, and they fail completely right now.
And of course, the only championship that the NCAA does not award, and thus they don't really have oversight of, at the D1, D2, or D3 level, is the FBS National Championship.
Crazy.
In college football. That is its different governing body. But they still, of course, have impacts on how you go about some of those NCAA regulations. So, Lisa, I think the natural question is, how do we fix it, right? How do we stop what we are seeing from continuing the rest of the way? I'm not entirely sure. The NCAA's role, again, that's gone. Anytime they go to the courts, anytime they are sued for their business model, they lose and lose in overwhelming fashion. It is why we are about to see revenue sharing at the collegiate level, because they lost unanimously in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can't agree on anything unanimously. Politicians in Washington can't agree on anything unanimously, except when it comes to voting against the NCAA, which is why we have these weird power brokerages that we are seeing at right now. A couple of ways that I would recommend how we fix this scenario, and you could specifically tie it to what Nico Iamaleava is dealing with right now. There needs to be standardized agreements. There needs to be some sort of standard contract that deals with NIL. Of course, there can be parameters for that. There can be differences in said wording, but there needs to be a standardized contract, because like we see in the professional model, there needs to be legal repercussions. You can't just break a contract in any level, in any profession, in any area of the world, but especially in sports, and not face a penalty or some sort of repercussion. That's just the truth behind the scenario. Number two, probably behind that, is an understanding of trying to limit some of the movement that we see right now. And there needs to be, Joe, some sort of payment back to these schools as well. We saw this a lot at the end of the NCAA basketball tournament, even in the middle of it, as we were getting ready for Sweet 16 weekend. We were seeing guys hit the transfer portal in overwhelming amount of numbers. You had basketball teams and basketball games still being played and people in the transfer portal by the thousands. One thing that has been floated, which I actually think is a really good idea, we talk a lot about coaching movement, right? No loyalty in coaching. They can go wherever they want, whenever they want. But how do they do that? With a buyout, with a payout. So if you leave your NIL deal that you have at insert X school, there needs to be that financial penalty or that financial buyout that you must pay, which of course ties back to any standardized agreements. Joe, until we get that, it is going to continue to be the wild, wild west that we see year in, year out, offseason in, offseason out.
Yeah, I totally agree. So the only way that I think you could stop it, because to your point, for, you know, expecting Congress or the Senate to get, you know, you could wait years for that. You would have for to sure. create another body, right, that is specifically booster-based. And what I mean by that is it protects the boosters across every landscape of every, you know, 135 FBS programs and, FCS as well, and say, in order to get any type of NIL / bag of cash, all right, You have to go through this organization, which then sets up the contractual parameters. There can't be any NIL or any type of booster deal that these students get in terms of, you know, any type of monetary gain unless it goes through this organization. It would have to be obviously nationwide, and it would have to be where they protect you. You know, you get this amount, $1.2 million if you stay in school for a limited of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You leave, then all of a sudden you relinquish that money and it goes back to the business or the booster program. Because you can't, I don't care how rich somebody is. If they're not getting an ROI, return on their investment, they're going to be upset and pissed off just like anybody else. So the boosters should be involved. If I'm putting $10 million into this guy to play for Knoxville or Auburn or wherever, he better stay 3 or 4 years or until he moves on to the NFL draft or NBA draft. You would think that everybody would collectively get involved and set this up with lawyers, because it's never going to stop at this point.
Right. And in professional sports leagues, right, a lot of them, there is a salary cap. There is a collectively bargained agreement of what is defined. That's certainly the direction we're heading in college sports. We'll see if we get there. But Joe is spot on, and I think we have tried to spell out this conversation as best we can. Now, what might it actually mean for the football? That's what we'll discuss next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Joe, we have talked about all that Nico Iamaleava missing spring practice on a Friday morning for Tennessee means from NIL, from the current landscape of college football, and certainly in college sports, if there are fixes to the system or if this is our reality. At this moment, it is our reality, and we'll see if and how it changed. I do want to make a point, though. We have NIL and then soon revenue sharing. You will see all this talk about rev sharing later this summer. Joe, at least that is very well defined by statute. That is defined by a plan in place. It is not going to be the wild, wild west, because the rev sharing comes from the actual university itself, and thus it needs to be completely organized and structured as such, I'm sure, for tax reasons and anything from the legal nature.
Yeah, again, you know, you talk about all the parameters that have to be in place for this to work. And that's just on the legal side, right? What about the player side? What about, this is where the NCAA has failed miserably, because they don't protect a school like Tennessee that, let's be honest, has a 9.5 win total this year and made it to the college football playoff. They're one of the teams to basically compete for an SEC championship, and their starting quarterback is holding the team and their boosters hostage right now, and there's no guarantee he's going to be there by the time week one rolls around. Who's protecting Josh Heupel right now? And I know coaches bail on programs all the time, but not at the same rate right now that we're seeing players move in and out of programs left and right, Ben.
Right. There's no loyalty from the coaching perspective either. And you see that argument. Coaches can leave whenever they want. So why can't players? If a coach leaves, it's not just poof, gone. That's what buyouts exist for. Either the coach and his new school have to pay it, or if a coach is fired, that school has to pay it. And we are talking not a buyout of $50, but to the tunes of multiple millions of dollars, because there is a contract involved, which I think is what we are hoping for here. So just to finish out the Nico Iamaleava situation, Joe, here is what we know right now. Iamaleava was not at practice today amid NIL renegotiations with Tennessee. Frustration is starting to build up on the volunteer side, both within their football program and I'm sure within their NIL collective. Multiple blue bloods are starting to tamper with Iamaleava to see if they can acquire a very talented and young quarterback. And oh, by the way, the Vols have their spring game tomorrow, which, Joe, leads to the conversation from the football perspective. You have seen all the updates in the last month and a half or so. Nebraska, Ohio State, Texas, just to name a few. Schools and programs, Joe, getting rid of the usual spring game. Part of this is the reason. This is what Matt Rhule highlighted when some people tried to make fun of him. That last year, because Nebraska's spring game is attended by more than 60,000 people inside Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, and because it is broadcast on the Big Ten Network, They had players hit the transfer portal in the spring window following spring ball that were getting actively tampered with based on their performances in the spring game. So this is what coaches and programs are trying to hold back from. The idea that your star quarterback, who was your starter last year, and you would assume would be your starter for a successful team the following season, could leave at the end of April, and you're left to enter fall camp picking up by bootstraps and starting back from ground zero.
Yeah, and that's why coaches like Nick Saban and some of the older guys, even Jay Wright on the basketball side, I guarantee you that's one of the reasons why they walked out the door, because the ability, right, to have multiple championships like Kirby Smart did a few seasons ago, you know, where you have that train in motion, are far and few between. Even though Ryan Day and Ohio State won last year, and I know they're the front runners in terms of what they see in terms of the odds, it is that much more difficult to sustain that momentum from year to year to year because of how players jump. There's no continuity. Nothing is sacred anymore. Kids just don't want to win a national championship. They want their bag of cash. They want their brand. They want the championship. And oh, by the way, they want to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Good luck with that type of situation, but this is where we're at right now. It's not going to change this year, next year, maybe in 3 or 4 years if they start now, and hopefully this is the tip of the iceberg or the domino that maybe pushes some legislation intact.
Maybe, just maybe, right? And we shall see. As it pertains to Nico Iamaleava, Joe, a lot of hype for Iamaleava entering last year, his first as a full starter in Knoxville because of his prestige coming out of high school, the small glimpses we got of Nico Iamaleava during 2023, especially in that bowl victory against Iowa, and of course what he could unlock under Josh Heupel's offense. Well, the first few weeks, it looked pretty good. But then in SEC competition, I would argue that Iamaleava was mediocre at absolute best. Joe, against SEC teams not named Vandy, although Vandy had a successful year last year, but against SEC schools not named Vanderbilt, Nico Iamaleava threw for more than 200 yards once. That was against a porous Kentucky team. He had 5 touchdowns to 2 interceptions and did not have a single rushing score utilizing those legs as well. We are talking about a quarterback that, if we're calling it like it is, bottom 6, bottom 8, bottom half, of the SEC in terms of starters last year, and is yet trying to demand $4 million. Whether you're Tennessee, whether you're one of those blue bloods that is infatuated with the name that is Iamaleava because of what his high school tape shows you, you're taking on a very big financial risk for a quarterback against the best of the best that hasn't proven a lick of diddly squat.
I would just say, listen, there's the door. We'll see you next year and move on. Yeah. I'm telling you, at this point, it's not worth the reward.
I don't think it is. We'll talk more about Tennessee. We'll talk about the SEC. And we'll talk about the rest of college football on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. We'll have plenty of draft talk next week. The odds haven't moved by any means. More FFC coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So a very interesting Friday ahead of Tennessee's spring game and the end of spring ball in Knoxville. Joe, the Volunteers have a win total of 9.5 entering 2025's campaign. The under has the hefty juice at minus 158. And there's a chance that by the end of this weekend or maybe next week, they're looking for a new starting quarterback if the reports about Nico Iamaleava are true and come to fruition. Again, Nico Iamaleava renegotiating with Tennessee for a new NIL deal did not show up to spring practice today on this Friday morning, as growing tension mounts between Nico, his team, and of course the Volunteers on the other side. Lisi, would you bet the under of that 9.5? Would you leave it alone for Tennessee entering 2025 just yet?
I would bet the under. And how are you going to have continuity when this is what's going on? I mean, you know, what if Nico all of a sudden takes the booster money and he's not happy come week number one, or somebody's in his ear, an agent, or whoever his management team is? I mean, you can guarantee that this is going to go great. If it's messed up now and he's coming off a mediocre year, right? What happens if, okay, they start 5-0 and he's putting up 30 touchdowns? I'm just throwing numbers out. 30 touchdowns in the first five weeks of the season, and all of a sudden he's there neck and neck with Arch Manning and says, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to play against LSU because I want an extra million. How does that pan out over the course of a year? Sell. -158 to the under.
Yeah, listen, I would agree, Lisi guy. And I don't even know if Nico Iamaleava, even in his second full year as that starting quarterback under Josh Heupel, I would expect to have those kind of numbers or to take that leap. Because again, he was incredibly mediocre during his first full year as a starter on Rocky Top. Last year, he entered with one of the 10 best prices to win a Heisman Trophy. Same kind of story this year, a 16-1 number on Iamaleava to win the Heisman in 2025. And Joe, this is not a Tennessee team expected to have a down year. 9.5, even with the juice on the under. A 9-3 SEC team, as we have seen, is going to be in consideration for the college football playoff. In fact, Lisi guy, they have the fourth highest win total in all of the SEC, only behind Texas and Georgia, who have the top two, 9.5, the over having the juice, and a 9.5 on Alabama, a little bit less juice on the under than that of the Volunteers. Again, there are high expectations on Rocky Top if Iamaleava is there, happy, funded, and their starting quarterback. But now that feels much more like an uncertainty. And sometimes, Joe, in professional sports, like the weird situation around Matthew Stafford, right? To start off the offseason, you have an idea of what is at stake. Stafford's still under contract. He would have to be traded if he did not want to resign with LA. Iamaleava can decide in a couple of days, transfer portal, might as well. There's no contractual thing that he leaves behind. There's no obligation he has to make right with Tennessee. He's out the door. He's in the portal. He's getting looks from a ton of different programs that I would be a little bit wary of taking a shot on. But Lisi guy, this weekend, the second full weekend in April, is not just for the Masters. It's often time where we see the first spring games of a year. We are not really seeing that in college football. This is one of the reasons, because of the volatility following spring ball, with the spring transfer portal being opened and how it can completely reshape a roster. You thought you were starting to get down pat in the 15 practices you had during those spring practice windows.
Now, you and I used to really look forward to this time where we used to have off-season talk about which teams could be good and contenders and pretenders and all, you know, but spring game, could it be Clemson? I'm just throwing programs out there. We have now relegated college football to the back seat. That's where we're at, unfortunately. Due to NIL, due to situations like this, instead of talking about the upcoming season in a positive way, we're now just talking about whether the whole foundation and whether the game itself is the same in the next 2 or 3 years. Isn't that crazy? Where, I mean, we've been doing this show for, 3 years, 4 years, and here we are. I mean, it's crazy.
Every year, Lisi guy, we sit here in the off season, whether it's been conference realignment or some crazy things that we have never seen in this landscape. But I do caution at times the, you know, doomsday scenario, because it's just all new to us after more than 100 years of a former model of the amateur model under the NCAA. So much has happened in the last 4 years that everything feels chaotic, but we don't get to focus on the actual sport. We have to talk about all these crazy new things that everybody is left to adapt to. Well, we still hope you have a great weekend. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. FFC returns Monday, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.